He made something beautiful of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Last time I was teaching on reflection of perfection. Hope you remember that from a couple weeks ago. It seemed like an eternity ago. But I want to continue that as part two today. And we'll just see how far we get. I don't want to rush. I want to take my time, but yet be timely in my teaching this morning. And just as a reminder, morning worship, we're going to put a little bit more energy into you participating. And so participate. It won't work if you don't. So I ask you to participate. We're going to cut back a little bit on the ministry side simply because I think you get a good session here and you get a good session there. And putting that together, I think that I don't care who you are or how good you preach or teach, your mind can only absorb so much. And so we want to give God as much attention as we can in worship. We left off last time talking about how that God had made Adam from the dust of the earth, and yet from the dust of the earth, he created a man, the Bible says, that was in his own image. In the image of God created he him. So the body of Adam was created from an earthly elements, if you will. But God breathed inside of the earthly elements, the spirit of God, if you will, and he became a living soul. How early now can we see the redemptive story? How early now can we see the born again experience? Already we can see there was a plan that God had because we too are born earthly. Right? And he too breathed in us and we become born again. We become a living part of God. Amen. He imparts his spirit to us. So the born again experience is just what Adam had already experienced. And so Adam was created, when he was created to be a reflection of God. So that, again, as I said in the past, let me be reminiscent in a little bit. When you see the moon, you know what's shining. You know the sun shining. You don't have to see the sun to know that it's shining. Just look at the moon. And so it was, if you looked at Adam, he was supposed to be a reflection and an image of God Almighty. So when you looked at Adam, you should have known there was a God, right? Because he was the image of God. Even Jesus said to Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I am a reflection. I come to do what he has sent me to do. And you and I today, when people see you, they ought to know there's a God in heaven somewhere, because you wouldn't be like you were if it were not for God. You are to be an image and a reflection of God Almighty. So be careful how you carry yourself, what you say to people, how you treat other people, and how you drive on the highway. Hallelujah. Because true personalities come out on the highway. The real you is behind the wheel. Oh, my. It says in Genesis 1:26, see, he said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So he's making Adam. Now, I want you to notice, he did not necessarily make Eve in his image. He made man in his image. And let them, the both of them, Adam and Eve, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You know, there's some creepy people on earth too. I've met some creepy people. Both Adam and Eve had dominion over everything that God had created. But yet between the two, who was to be the stronger of the two? Because anytime you have two heads, it doesn't work. That's why I'm pastor, he's associate pastor. Can't have two pastors. No, can't have two pilots. Somebody got to be the co-pilot, right? And anytime you have a two-headed animal, it's a freak. And so what we have here is Adam and Eve. Now, one of them has got to be, but they both had dominion over everything under them, but yet let's look and examine who's supposed to have dominion over here, over who. Concerning Adam and Eve. Well, there was a law called the law of first fruits, and you see that throughout the Bible. Amen. So that even the firstborn had dominion over all their brothers and sisters. They got the birthright and the double blessing. And in some places, you'll see where the elder would serve the younger. That was not normal. It was supposed to be the opposite. And so we find that Adam should have been able to exercise, and listen to this word, prudent dominion over his wife. Prudent, not abusive dominion, but prudent dominion over his wife. And not to be lord over her, but to be lord unto her. All right? And so we pick up here, we find where I left off last time. They're both now in the garden, and they come to these two trees, the knowledge of good and evil, which was the one he said, the day you touch it, you die, and the tree of life. That one, if they ate of it, they continued to live. If they ate of the other one, they died. And this represents, we get an early look. That's why I like the book of Genesis. We get an early look of how decisions are made in our lives. There's always good and bad choices in life. Paul said, when I would do good, there's always a bad choice with me, right? So when I would do good, evil is present. It's always there. So every time they went to make a good choice, there was also a bad choice they could make, right? And so perhaps, let me see, thought this to you. Perhaps Adam only partook of the tree of life, not because he didn't want the other tree, but because he knew what God said about the other tree. Now, there's a lot of things your parents told you, but you had to find out, right? You had to find out the stove was hot, just like they said, right? And so I believe in my heart, Adam really wanted to know too. I'm going someplace this morning. And many times people make decisions not realizing that their decisions make them. You are a product this morning of your decisions. And you walk them out. And you live them out, good or bad, you live them out. And so Adam and Eve were partners, if you will, in the garden. The first ship there ever was a partnership. And the first job there ever was a husbandman. Adam was created to be a husbandman. He had the first job the world ever knew. And what he got from being this job was the benefits of being employed by God. It wasn't money, but he could freely eat. He didn't have to till the ground, look for water, nothing. It's a good job. And Adam was to have more authority than Eve. And the reason I know this, because when you read in the Bible, it says that Adam was alone. Let's read it, 2 and 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him, not a help mate. Too many times that gets misquoted. He didn't make her for a help mate, where all she was a mate. She was made a help meet to him, to help him with not only his loneliness, but the things of the garden. All right? She was obviously to be subordinate to him, because she was taken where? From his side. So she was to be right by his side to help him. What can I do to help you? So we see that he should have had prudent authority and dominion over her, right? They should have been acting together in decisions. Let me tell you something. Most of the time when you see people end up in divorce, it's because they were not compatible. Most divorces, if you read the paper, it says incompatibility. Not adultery, as many times is the case, but it's incompatibility because they did not communicate properly. They couldn't make decisions together properly. And so these two together were a partnership in the garden. Now, they should work together on major decisions. Now, my wife does not call me and say, hey, can I go to Hancock's today? Or Michael's or Hobby Lobby. And I don't call her and say I'm headed to Gander Mountain either or the Academy. But when it comes to major decisions, life-changing decisions, we're partners in those decisions. Coming here, she was partner in my decision. Things that will alter your life as a husband and wife, you must sit down and talk about it between the two of you. What's the good? What's the bad? And let's make this decision together. And so what we find here, though, Eve was acting single. And that's where I left off last week. She was acting on her own accord, acting like she wasn't married, acting like she didn't know where Adam was, although he was there. But it seems to be the scripture leads us to believe that Adam is there. He's listening to the conversation, but he's not saying anything. And I kind of wonder why. I think I have some answers for that. Adam was there during his conversation, but his silence become his guilt. How many times have you said to somebody, well, you didn't say anything. See, they make a decision, and then later on it boomerangs. You go, well, I could have told you that. Well, you didn't say anything. And so his not saying anything becomes his guilt. Whew. My. Let's look, 3 and 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. She's helping him out. With her, he's there, and he did eat. I don't see where Adam spoke up and said, now wait a minute, Eve, before you do this, let's sit down and talk. Come on, let's have a little sit down at the table and let's talk about this. I don't see his silence become his guilt. And too many times, I'm afraid our silence becomes our guilt too. We are to shoo forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. You ought to be ringing out the praises of God every day to everybody you meet. I'm afraid our silence becomes our guilt. Why aren't we ringing out his praises to people? Say, well, they didn't ask. They don't need to ask. I'll tell you about God whether you ask or you don't ask. Your silence needs to, don't let it become your guilt. You didn't say anything. It's like the man had the talent. I knew thou was an austere man. I knew you reap where you sow, therefore I hid it. It didn't spare him of the penalty. And so the woman was deceived when she saw, you know, it is good for food. It is pleasant. I do want to be wise. So let me have it. And she took of this fruit and gave to her husband, and he did eat. Now, watch. She was acting single, and the eyes of them both were opened. And they, all of a sudden now it's a they, because she involved him. She brings in, the scripture bears this out, she brings in the transgression. And he became party to it. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves. This is where the sewing industry started, right here. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and Eve. He didn't call unto them. He called unto him. That's my man. Now, she's supposed to answer to you, and you answer to me. Isn't that the way he set it up in the church? He said that the head was to be God, the head of God, Christ was God, and the head of Christ was, you know, the man's head to be Christ, and the woman's head to be the man. And so he doesn't call to the woman and the man, he calls to the man, because she was supposed to be subordinate to him and answer to him, right? Are you still with me? Don't have to agree, but you're still with me. If just Eve would have fallen, then I said this last week, there could have been an Eve too, number two. God did not call them, he called Adam. But Adam had willingly partook of the forbidden fruit. And now they became partners in crime or partners in sin. He knew what he was doing. The woman was deceived. She's going to get the penalty anyway because God did not wink on that ignorance. But Adam was created in God's own image, and now God's image has fallen. Have you ever had your image fall? People said stuff about you, and then, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe that. No good. And in their mind, your image went kapoop. Right? I used to hold them up here. I used to trust them. That's what happened to God. His image. Boop. And so Eve could have eaten of the fruit. And again, the Lord could have used another Adam, a rib from Adam. He had plenty of them and made another woman. But now that Adam has fallen, we must have an Adam too. So that we have the first man Adam, and the New Testament speaks of the last man Adam. And even though Eve would have eaten of the fruit, she would have died. Do you understand that? Because God's word said the day you touch it, the day you eat it, you shall surely die. So therefore, if Eve would have taken of the fruit, now she touched it first, right? And she touched it, she probably partook of it first. She would have died. And it was still not Eve that brought death, now listen close, to the entire world. She brought death to herself, not the entire world. Because she was deceived. And if only Eve would have eaten of the fruit, then only her eyes would have been opened. And then only she would have hid. And then it would have been Adam saying, Eve, wherefore art thou? Where are you, Eve? And she would have saw her own nakedness, but he wouldn't have seen his. But instead, Adam eats of the fruit willingly. Therefore, when Eve partook of the fruit, she brought death to herself, but not to the rest of the world. But when Adam partook of the fruit, he did a sin with his eyes wide open, and he brought death to all men. Eve brought death to herself. Adam, through this man, brought sin into everybody's life. And so I've learned that the wages of sin is what? Death. And so we see that death now reigned. Woo! Death now reigned. Death took Adam's place. Adam could have lived. Adam was supposed to reign. Adam was supposed to have dominion. Adam was supposed to live forever. But he got off of his throne. And when he did, death sat down. And death begin to reign. Adam, you shall surely die. You're going to get old and feeble, and it'll lead you where you don't want to go when you get old. That's just the way it is. It's the curse of death. And Adam was created to reign and have dominion, but because he fell, sin rose up and began to reign in his stead. And now death reigns, and death is inevitable. And sin, the Bible says, why does death reign? Because sin reigned. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But when death, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Adam sinned, and it brought in death to the whole world. So that now death reigned through sin. So Eve brought death into her world. But it would have been contained just to her. But Adam brought death into the whole world so that everybody was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And unless you get a born-again experience, you shall die in your sins. The Bible lets us know that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. The woman brought in the transgression. You'll find that in the New Testament. But Adam committed the sin. Amen. And so the wages of Adam's ones, what he did, brings in death to all men. But I kind of wondered, why wasn't it Eve that brought in death and sin to the world? Why didn't she bring it in? Because it had to come through Adam. Adam was the firstborn. Other than Christ being having preeminence to all. Eve was deceived by the serpent, but Adam was persuaded. Listen close. Eve was deceived by the serpent, but Adam was persuaded by Eve. You know, it's easy to persuade people to do what they already want to do. It's easy to persuade people to do what they already want to do. And I submit to you this morning, Adam wanted that fruit too. He wanted it too. It had been a many a day. It's like, boy, I remember what God said. Boy, it sure looks good. Don't think that serpent didn't talk to him too. This wasn't the first encounter at the tree. He wanted it too, but now he had an avenue and a provision and a way to get what he wanted to. Because I believe he lusted after it just like she did. But he let her pick it first. I don't know if he thought he would escape God's plan, but Adam died with his bride. Christ will die for his bride. Quite a difference. And so because Adam had a lust, in my mind, I believe he lusted for the fruit as much as she did. And he could not, the serpent couldn't beguile him, but so he was beguiled her. And then she persuaded him. I hate to say it, men, but women can persuade you. Oh, yeah, don't, come on, men, you better. Women can persuade a man. The Bible talks about how a woman can make bread out of a man. Don't give me that. Lord, give me a church that's honest. They do it, and they know how to do it when they want to do it. And so Adam was persuaded, okay, and he took. She did eat and gave her to her husband, and he did eat also. Why? He wanted to eat it anyway.